Hello, welcome to LedgerCast. My name is Brian Krogsgaard. I'm here with Josh Olswich. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Brian. How's it going? You know, I think we should change the name of LedgerCast.
To what?
I don't know. Just, you know, something more inclusive.
Inclusive of multiple assets or both of us?
No, just, yeah, both of us. I don't know. Maybe we could think about that on air. What do you think?
I'm glad you bring this up now. I don't think of it as like my name when I think of LedgerCast or Ledger Status. Like, I know people think of me that way, but I think of my name as Brian, not Ledger something. So
it's good to hear.
LedgerCast is inclusive of Brian and Josh.
Yeah, I mean, or whoever else, right?
Whoever.
All the cool kids. All the cool kids that are on here.
Hopefully one day Dez from Lightning. We need an update on what's going on with the Lightning Network. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
But we're here. We're here. You know, even though Josh doesn't like the fact that I'm sensing some envy.
There's no envy. I just thought it was a good time to ask.
That's okay. But you know what?
Talk about LedgerCast every time.
Yeah, well.
What about CarpeCast?
I'm glad we bring this up now. Nevertheless, you know what? We're happy again to be brought to you by Matcha. You can go to ledgerstatus.com/matcha, and you can trade many assets, all the assets. And guess what? They have an update. Two things to talk about on Matcha. One, you can set limit orders, which is fantastic. Been doing that with either wrapped ETH pairs or the USDC pairs. Bigger for all of you folks who just love to trade absolutely anything. You can trade any token on Matcha now, not just their curated tokens, but they still offer that curated dashboard so you can feel safe sending your more newbie folks there and they won't go finding all the crazy stuff. But you can actually trade anything that you would trade anywhere else and get all the same great features of aggregated liquidity. Just go to ledgerstatus.com/matcha to check it out. That's MATCHA. We're pleased to have them as a sponsor. Josh, friggin' Bitcoin just won't go above $20,000. What's the deal? Why does it disappoint me so?
It's got to be mispriced. The market has to be wrong.
The market is wrong?
It has to be, right? Dollar is going to zero, and Bitcoin is just flat, chop city. ETH 2.0 is here, and ETH doing absolutely nothing, just chopping us both up. Like, what is going on?
I don't know. I'm upset. I gave up $20 per ETH profit and cut myself out of the trade today because, well, I didn't want it to go underwater in any significant way. So that was a bummer. It seems like we're just sitting here at some overhead resistance, not willing to push through. If you look at like Tensor Charts or any of those tools, there's a lot of offers for Bitcoin between now and $25,000. But meanwhile, we've seen the dollar go supremely down, way down all week. Today's its first green day, and it might be printing some kind of reversal candle on those time frames. But, I mean, when you can't see anything but incredible weakness on a weekly time frame. This is the meltdown we've been anticipating over the last 2 weeks. And just in that short time frame, it went all the way down to kind of the first supports of that 2018 cluster we talked about. About 90.50 is where it bottomed, which is the top side of where it consolidated in early 2018. So the dollar's down. Cash is trash. The SPY just closed, just closed 4 minutes ago at an all-time high. Stocks are doing a lot of uppity things, even though some of those big caps are consolidating. Amidst all that, Bitcoin obviously has done very well, but it looks tired if you're just looking at a chart in a vacuum, correct?
Yeah, I don't really know what to make of it. It's I was saying an ETH at least looks like a clear case for a cup and handle on lower timeframes. Mm-hmm. That basically busted itself today by breaking below the handle.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not, I don't know.
There's just it doesn't look great. There's nothing super clear, I guess.
There's no there, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I guess this, we're close to the part where you can be bullish and like just before you're wrong, you know, like if we go below maybe 18.5 or something like that on Bitcoin, like it would seem pretty clear that we need more retrace. But the problem I see is there's just not such a clear chart setup that because we failed to get above 19.6, 19.7 again, I feel like I have to wait until we get back up there pressing against that ceiling before I feel confident, or wait longer to see if something shapes up here. But I feel like we could be waiting like most of December, and this chart pattern has plenty of time to build itself out, because on a daily basis, we framed it with that dip that we had down to 16K, and like it doesn't make anything on this daily chart. Do you think?
No. And it just makes the TKC clamp look worse than it did already on the daily chart on the cloud. Any sideways here is just going to be ultimately ending in a retracement, most likely.
Yeah,
215, 216, something like that.
We may have some newer listeners, so thanks for listening, folks. Can you describe the TKC clamp concept?
Yeah, so the on the cloud, there's a bunch of lines, as there are with any indicator, but the blue and the red line represent basically a type of moving average. And as price gets further away from those moving averages, eventually it's going to want to go back to those mean reversion. We talk about mean reversion, or when anybody talks about mean reversion, that's what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So visually on the chart, when you see this flat, basically, when the TK lines spread apart farther and farther and farther and then start to flatten out, which is what's happening now, then that's a sign for reversal.
Yeah. So either those moving averages have to catch up to the price, or the price is going to have to mean revert down towards the moving averages that it's outpaced, especially as they flatten out. So stalling that momentum, the Keijin, which is kind of your target slightly longer term moving average on a cloud system. I mean, it's all the way down there at 15.2-ish or so on the daily. That's indicative of your full like 25% lower low type of drop. Everyone would be freaking out, but that's where our bids should be, right?
Right. That's where my bids are. don't tell anybody.
And that's
my
awesome.
Bids are at 15.2, 15.5, 14.9, and I think 15.4 or something. I don't know.
So you're front running the Keijin a little bit, and then
I'm just all over that area.
Yeah. There's some daily stuff down there, but essentially you are still bullish, but we can make that case for Bitcoin needing to mean revert. And essentially that would be saying the top is in for the year.
Yeah, which isn't saying too much. That's only a couple weeks away. The real issue is the seasonality that I talk about every week.
Which you don't like Q1.
Q1 is not bullish for BTC.
Yeah.
Most of the time hasn't been. So if this can't sustain Q4, Q1, I don't expect to be, you know, close higher than it opened, basically.
Yeah. One other thing that I've always talked about on the show, the 20 week is all the way down at $12,880. Quite a ways away. And that is also a huge bounce point. So like the fact that we can drop by 30%, and be bouncing off that 20 week, that's like go all in prices, but it's a little nerve wracking that we have so far before you get to those daily levels that you described, and on the weekly basis could even go a little further and maintain bullishness, because I think from a leverage perspective or whatever, you know, like a momentum perspective, I think people would be very panicky at those types of levels, which may make the best reason for why they need to be hit. You know,
you don't, well, the one thing you don't want is your bids the same spot that your stop losses are, which is something I run into on occasion. So if you're in a long here, you don't want to jump out of it at 15.4 and then, you know, restart a position, or maybe you do, I don't know, but that's not how I trade anyway. If anything, this daily told you to jump out on the last dip and you're still kind of out.
Yeah, you're still out from the previous time you stopped off some of the linear trends, right?
Right. So like trading all this on high time frames is kind of silly at this point, because it's still as overbought as it ever was. That hasn't changed on the daily. But on the lower time frames, you could have been trading the tweezer bottom, the Adam and Eve, the like hourly 4 hour Kuma breakout, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
on lower time frames.
So I guess what we're going into the show with, in terms of our predicament, is that price looks tired. Like, we're extended well beyond the mean on weekly and daily time frames. There's no great discernible chart patterns or anything like that to push upward. We've made a lower high. We're looking tired on the low time frames. But all that at the same time is the fundamentals seem fantastic, as good as ever. So we're trying to balance these two, right? Like, we don't want to get so bullish on the low time frames that we miss the big picture. And it's a little bit of a dance. You got to figure out, like, how can you position yourself or protect yourself for both upside and downside. We could blast right through this, and you know, both of us are needlessly conservative or whatever, and off we go to 22, 23K. So it's a tricky dance. So let's talk about how we're.
Well, it sounds like we're saying a bunch of nothing, right? To the layman, it may sound like we're saying a bunch of nothing, but it's not always clear cut, right?
Like, yeah.
Our trepidation should signal like the strength and size of positions for people in general. At least that's my personal feeling. Like, if I'm not sure, which I'm not right now, like, I'm not going to be betting the house on 24K, right?
Yeah, and I was really looking forward to a push up, because I felt like it was the path of least resistance. I'm feeling less and less that way, purely because I feel like people are, they have this certainty about the bullishness, you know, like we had that 17% dip, whatever it was. And now it's like, everybody's like, okay, off we go. But we could make this a lot more painful. And there's just so many places where the next dip could pause out. Like, I want to talk about what are some ideas for portfolio construction, because if the downside is as low as we're talking about, 15, let's just call it 15K, you know, 30, maybe a 30%. Is that 30%? What's that percentage dip if we went to 15? That would be that's 20% dip to the Keijin and 30% dip to get to those like weekly levels. So let's say 20-25% down from here. How can you structure your portfolio, maybe to protect yourself or maybe to give yourself some buying power if it does that, while maintaining upside? What ideas do you have?
Well, you talked about this last week. Never sell, right? You just you only add.
Yeah, so right? essentially
like, I don't care about the USD value at the end of the day.
Yes, know? Hold on spot, maintain your Bitcoin purchasing power, if you will, like your relative Bitcoin amount. Does it lead you to be risk off on altcoins? Certainly it leads you to not be, you know, not be seeking margin longs until we get that significant dip. Is there anything else that you think of in that regard?
No, I mean, if it makes higher highs, I'm ready to buy basically a stop limit order at higher highs. So I'm ready. Like I said before the show started, I opened four positions last night before I went to bed and closed three of them this morning.
Yeah.
But I'm ready to reopen 5-10 positions if it breaks highs here. So
breaks highs. Is that in your mind, like it needs to get above 20K before you're convinced, or you would be willing to do it sooner? Like, I don't know, like 19.6 or something like that. Like a higher high on that local top that we had.
Yeah, I think 19.6 looks good on BTC. On ETH, it's way cleaner as far as what the horizontal is. We keep seeing this. I don't know what this pattern is. This head and shoulders with like the third shoulder higher than just the diagonal head and shoulders. I don't know, but this happens on ETH over and over again too. Anyway, yeah, 19.6 looks pretty good as far as higher high, convincingly.
Yeah, so that's
if anything, you can just watch the hourly cloud. Like, it's a giant mess right now, but if it perks up, I don't know. I think it's worth a stab. I think it's so indecisive one way or the other here that front running the either side is going to be profitable. It's like straddle, basically, right? That's kind of what I did last night. I was like, okay, it looks like a cup and handle on ETH. This is probably going to go up. I don't want to not be in a position when this does. So, all right, you know, let's try it, right?
Yeah, and I had a little some shenanigans on myself trying to play that, because, you know, I got in 591 maybe average before this breakout on the December 3rd. So, yeah, I guess that was yesterday. And got a move up to like 620, sitting in a nice little profit. And I was just like, this just looks like it's going to retrace on me. Like, it's either going to blast through a retrace. And that's one of those situations where it's like, you know, more volatility is coming and you don't know if it's just going to take you right back to your dadgum entry or or what. But on the high time frames, this is still telling us not to worry, not to freak out about drawdowns, not to panic, buy the dip, carry on.
It's just such chop. That's the problem.
And it can be mentally difficult for someone to say, okay, well, I just took a 20 or 25% drawdown across my portfolio. I want to panic and sell and get out of here. But that's where we should be doubling down.
Yeah. Yeah.
On a one more thing on that weekly time frame, we haven't had a weekly, like, we broke weekly highs at 12K. So we haven't had a drawdown on the weekly, like from a closing perspective since then. And that's the one thing on this from a weekly perspective that really freaks me out, because this is some of the strongest momentum we've seen. Well, we had it in 2017 and 2019. Both of those resulted in gigantic drawdowns. And that's the one concern where you could have here is, like, if you wanted to lock some profit here, even on spot, you could do it if you are, you know, if you tell yourself to buy back if it goes above 20 again, right? And then seek low time frame consolidation, reversals, something like that. Now, you could be getting, it's a little scary to get out of corn like that, because it could run away from you quickly if you're not decisive to get back in. But I guess that just depends on the person. We sound indecisive because at least me, I am indecisive now. Like, I just closed margin longs today and now I'm just sitting here like, okay, well, now what? What are you looking at there? The pitchfork?
Yeah, I was just looking at the pitchfork. Yeah, I think hedging is appropriate. I think straddles are appropriate. I don't think positions of massive sizes are appropriate. I think wait and see is appropriate.
Yeah.
On the weekends, I feel like if you map this out on the weekends, we actually do better than the weekdays as far as movements.
Yeah. The other thing I noticed is it seemed like, and it makes sense, every evening, essentially Americans would de-risk, it seemed, before bed. And then it was a matter of whether it got bought up by like the London Open or the New York Open. But it seemed reliable that, like, after American U.S. markets closed, it wasn't like Asia just picked it right up and started buying the crap out of it. You know, like, it seemed like there was weakness every evening over the past week. And then combined with the Dixie continuing to go down, Bitcoin just not able to muster up a push up, It just seems like the market's tired to me, Josh.
I mean, didn't GBTC buy 7,000?
Yeah.
BTC last night? Yes. Or this week, whatever it was.
So they're hoovering up all the Bitcoin.
So why isn't price moving, Brian?
I don't know. That's what has me concerned.
Yeah, it's I don't know either. I don't know. Even the VIX is coming down. Something we talk about all the time. Yeah. VIX is the lowest it's been since February. Vaccine is on the way. They'll be here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, the VIX is at 20, which is like super bull market type of levels, which I guess, I mean, the SPY's at an all-time high. Q's all-time high. IWM, all-time high. Dow Jones Industrial Average just looked like it broke out. I find that interesting. Like, every index is going now, you know.
All of legacy's exploding. Metals are
lagging.
Sideways. I don't know, up from down at this point. Have you looked at bonds lately at all?
No, I haven't. Should I?
I haven't either. No, I'm just wondering. I don't know. Everything just feels weird.
Yeah. I mean, rates, 10 years recovered a little bit, 30 years recovered a little bit. So that's interesting, I guess. But I don't know, man. It's just, I feel like it's a moment of flux where the market's trying to figure out what it wants to do. You are straight up. Yawning.
That's why I feel like Bitcoin's wrong. It's got to be wrong.
It's got to go up.
It's got to be wrong.
Well, I mean, we've moved a lot, you know. So it's a question of, do we have more in the tank, or do we just need some time to chill? Maybe it's time to take a vacation. Enjoy Christmas.
enjoy your family, your COVID family.
Well, some of my year-long thesis has an opportunity to play out here, where I talked about testing the all-time high clusters and ending the year maybe around 16K if we have that dip, another dip. The question in that scenario is it going to open up the space for altcoins, or is everything just going to go down? Because honestly, altcoins have run with Bitcoin this last little leg, which additionally, it doesn't leave me like super bullish. Where do you sit with that?
Yeah, so if I look at each alt in a vacuum, most of them are showing bullish reversal signs on USD pairs.
Bullish reversal as in they are bullish right now?
As in they're going from neutral to bullish on the USD pairs. The BTC pairs all look like death and doom, whereas into Q2, I think they're going to be amazing. I think alts will outperform BTC in Q2. I really do. I'm not so sure if they'll do that right now. I think everything's just going to die. And you're right. If alts move, that's usually a late cycle, because it's people looking to rotate out of ETC into something else that hasn't moved. The dumb money coming in, whatever you want to say. Ripple's still at what, 61 cents or something?
No, it's all the way down to like 55. I got it pulled up right here. And that's goes in line with what concerns me, is because it had this low time frame consolidation at like 62 cents. Yeah. And it broke down from that overnight. And now it just looks so bad. Like, it looks so bad.
Yeah, anytime you get that curvature, I mean, that's setting up for inverted Adam and Eve right there.
Yeah, it looks like the type of thing that could return to like 40 cents. And these are, you know, I don't like Ripple, and it went up a ton. I get that.
Like people who like Ripple, and, you know, I don't like anybody at Ripple.
But here's some context around this. It's the largest, you know, coin outside of Bitcoin and Ethereum. It had massive momentum. And for it to be showing weakness here alongside Bitcoin hovering, in my mind, this is another sign that the market just is thinking more about cash than it is about hype. Because altcoins are, they're front running the move down here. I mean, a lot of stuff's down 5, 10, 12%. But to see something like Ripple, which had that consolidation, and with Bitcoin acting like it's not going anywhere, strong environment would have said, well, Ripple can leg up here again, or, you know, like some of these other large caps can leg up here. But pretty much across the board, they're doing the opposite. They're slowing down. They're, you know, they're retracing. Link, for example, doing the same thing. Link relative to Bitcoin honestly looks like straight trash. Like, we talked about this 200-day moving average with Link that has never failed since 2019. And it teetered, it danced, it faked out above, and now, it looks real bad. Real bad. Link BTC looks... It looks like game over. That's what I'm that's what I'm going with, Josh.
The Marines are not happy right now, Brian.
I mean, I'm just saying it looks real bad.
You're telling me that an asset that's up 1500% over the past 2 years doesn't look good against stuff that is finally moving up? I'm shocked. Pikachu face, shocked. Link ETH looks bad too. So it's all inverted millhouse for Link right now.
Yeah, Crypto Jack in the chat talked about a diagonal on Link too that it's at risk of breaking. And you could also, it's a huge, huge, near meme worthy head and shoulders. You could probably draw it as having already broken and retested. You could draw it as breaking now. Doesn't matter what you draw on Link. It looks bearish. It just looks really bad relative to BTC. Link looks toast. It looks absolutely freaking finished. That is not bullish for other altcoins. It's not a rotation game in my mind on that. When your strongest coins are breaking down, to me that doesn't indicate that everything else is just going to have a chance now. Your coin didn't moon, this one broke down, and this is the leader, and now it's all done. You know, like, that's kind of what it strikes me as.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't want it to be so, because that's where we leverage up if we're not doing straight up leverage BTC, is by trying to trade altcoins for more BTC. The other side of that trade is you can try to trade an altcoin for more BTC and end up with a lot less BTC if you play it wrong. And I think the risk of that here is honestly pretty severe. Even some of the ones I've been championing, goodness gracious. I've talked about the Zcash eternal bottom, whatever you want to call it. It had a massive positive reversal, looked like maybe a swing failure pattern or something like that, and now it's just right back down here in the range, and the USD pair is kind of right back into no man's land rather than pushing up towards what I was wanting with the inverted head and shoulders and all that. So, like, it's dicey, and I know, like, nobody's surprised by Zcash going down.
But least of all me.
Yeah, but in a vacuum, like we talked about before, it's a pattern and it's a chart that was looking really bullish and is failing to follow through. And it could be a fake out. Totally could. I'm not trying to do away with it, but it's a little concerning. There's reason for caution here, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think everything just needs to relax a little bit at this point. That's what it feels like. It feels like the stuff that wants to move won't move. The stuff that makes sense to be moving isn't moving. The rotation game isn't happening. Nothing's happening right now. The macro picture couldn't be better than it is now for crypto to move. And nobody wants $600 ETH, and nobody wants 20K BTC. You know,
and that's really what it comes down to. If you look at the fast movers from the DeFi landscape, for example. I mean, Wi-Fi went down a ton from the top. It was at 4x Bitcoin at its top, which is crazy. And it went to 0.5 Bitcoin. And now it's 3x'd since then, but it's showing weakness. It's showing maybe a double top. If it loses its 20-day moving average below 1.36 BTC per Wi-Fi, that is also a key horizontal. And, you know, one of the things that I've learned in this space is that if the ones that have the most positive rotation, like the strongest mean reversion to the upside, if they start to fail, it's going to be indicative of the rest of the market too. When I look at this relative to Bitcoin in a vacuum, it could bounce off 1.36 and continue upwards. If it doesn't, then that's the time to really get concerned. But relative to the USD, if it doesn't, then Bitcoin's probably already down a lot. And so, like, you're losing relative to Bitcoin, Bitcoin's down relative to the dollar. Wi-Fi will probably be down a lot already by then. Equivalent level may be like 22, 23K. It's at 27 right now.
I guess you have to choose what you want to focus on, stacking sats or stacking fiat.
Yeah.
You know, just depends what you're focused on, right?
Yeah. And it does. What are you focused on? My brain is in dollars right now. I'll put it that way. I'm not always that way, but I don't know if I look at a Bitcoin and think a Bitcoin is cheap right now, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. And like I said, who's buying $20,000 Bitcoin besides Paul Tudor Jones, you know? Like,
yeah.
Well, the billionaires might not know what the price is and don't care, you know, but the rest of us are aware.
Yeah. And I think that it's tough, man. It's tough. I don't We are so indecisive today. But we're getting a lot of mixed signals. We're getting a lot of indecision in the market. Now, once we break the all-time high definitively, I will think that 18K is cheap Bitcoin. But until it does that, I have a hard time thinking that, because we haven't actually experienced price exploration relative to the prior highs. And what we're seeing instead is a willingness for people who, whether they bought the top or whatever, for whatever other reasons, they're willing to let go of coins. And
I mean, I'd love to see people just get leveraged to the hilt short here and then blown out if it goes to 24. I would love that.
And I think that's probably part of the problem, is I do think sentiment has leaned bullish to where people are buying every little dip and getting away with it. And that 16% dip that we had, that got rid of leverage temporarily. Like, I think I saw the other day, like, some extraordinary percentage of Binance's open interest was liquidated, which is not good. It's just a sign of the retail market getting absolutely blown out. Maybe they need it again.
Yeah, maybe we all do. Maybe it's a lesson that we all need to learn.
What?
I don't know.
We need to stop getting blown out. Just
know that everybody needs to get blown out first. Before no free rides, as they say. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a strong feeling one way or the other. It's just a wait and see game at this point. And then we can start going down to the decision tree of buying a dip between 13 and 15 or buying higher highs at 20. I don't know.
I'll tell you what, though. When I look at Bitcoin inverted, it's the kind of setup that I would look for some kind of reversal. If I was, which means in actuality, the price going down. Like, if this was some, it's not bullish if you're looking at it inverted, but it's also like, it's a very clear breakdown level, you know? So it's kind of your maximum opportunity on the inverted scale as a buyer, because you can stop out. So if we're thinking about that in reverse, like, it's a good sell, knowing that you can buy back with missing a small percentage of the move by looking at the inverse chart, because it's only like 4% off the highs. So if you can sell 4% off the highs, and if we do get another significant drawdown, say that 20% drawdown, well, that's a 4-to-1 trade, you know, from a risk reward perspective. So that's tempting.
It's an easy stop, right?
So you think everybody's just looking at similar?
I don't know. That's what I'm looking at. I'm thinking if it goes higher, I'm buying, right? But until then, I'm sitting on my hands at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know. But ETH, look how strong that looks for the invert, or the cup and handle narrative there.
On the inverted ETH?
Until a few hours ago, that looked insanely textbook to me.
Yeah, it did. I was watching that from a cup and handle perspective as well, and it just petered out. It hasn't hit a 50% retrace of the cup and handle. I'm going to try.
No, it didn't. It didn't. And a lot of people, I don't know. I don't know what people think or care or learn about, but you know what? Chart patterns are more of an art than a science. And yeah, sometimes they're not exact and sometimes they are. So it is what it is.
I've seen some pretty good high time frame cup and handles before. I think of the Turkish Lira was one of the best ones I've ever seen a couple years ago. And I was like, no way the dollar could do that. And then it just dominated it. You know, like it was so textbook. And then it went to the measured move and beyond. And I was looking at this as a cup and handle too. I do think it could still be one. It just takes more time, but it could go to like, it could go down to 550 and still fill out that handle. And basically all that's saying is it's trying to make some kind of medium time frame higher or low. So if you have your previous low and then you have some kind of new low, that's 50%, no more than 50% down from the previous one. That gives you the cup and handle pattern. It could still happen. I don't see it right now. Yeah. I feel like we're hitting sell triggers all over the place right here.
Well, the chance to break out is over, clearly, for that pattern, that yeah, setup.
It needed to do it from up here. So it's like,
yeah,
it's basically saying it needs a longer consolidation because it should have broken out yesterday from 620 if it was going to be fast. You know, yeah, like
if it was going to do it, boom, that was where it was going to do it.
Yeah. And that's what I wanted. That's what everyone wanted. ETH 2.0 launched, baby. That's what, you know, like all the good stuff. So, but it's leaning in towards a sell the news type of thing. And that would take us there is a level on here on the 4-hour chart, right around 550. So maybe you could look for something at 550 and maybe that could become a better chart pattern. Everything I see though just says this is tired. Like I don't want to be margin long right now. And yeah, that's why I closed it out. I'm already glad I closed it out. I may not be later today if this closes strong. But everything here is pointing to me that we need to consolidate on high time frames. Consolidation on high time frames, it could literally take the rest, you know, the rest of the year, the rest of the month. It's December 4th today. We may not do anything from a new highs perspective until January.
Yeah, so that would be
take yourself a Christmas vacation.
That'd be painful for some people to think about, but you know, something else to consider as well for ETH is the ETH locked in DeFi.
Yeah, has dropped off
quite a bit over the past month. So I think that's hurting it as well.
Is that directly due to the liquidity provision stuff on Uni ending, or what do you think that's from?
I don't know. I mean, it could be that. It could be ETH 2.0 launching. I don't think ETH 2.0 lockup is included in here. Even if it was, it's like 900K ETH. Like, it's not a lot. So I don't know. I don't know why it's going down, but if it's not going up, if the locked ETH isn't going up, then it makes sense that ETH isn't going up, right?
Because there's less demand, essentially, for Ethereum.
I think so, yeah.
There's a couple of things on the ETH BTC radar that I'm interested in. One is on the weekly, it looks like it's making a lower high under resistance and under the 20-week moving average from 0.032. Something around there, and making it seem like it wants to retest the cluster below that it bottomed out at. And on a daily time frame, some of that retest might be around like the 200-day moving average, which it had reclaimed, but now sit right around 0.03. So not much. That's not that far below, but. It's not like I'm looking at Ethereum relative to BTC here and thinking it needs new lows, but it's very much at risk of making a lower high and, you know, looking like it could go back and retrace another 10% or so.
HBTC just looks like a mess to me. And I feel like I say this every time I look at it, but I just don't ever see a trade set up there. There's like one trade set up per year on that chart.
It looks like no trade zone or short when I look at high time frames. Like this looks like just a really nice bearish retest. In many ways to me, at least on the weekly chart. That's harder to act on. And the daily chart's very similar. The problem I have on the daily chart is it really quickly gets back to support to some degree, you know, like
it's a mess. What are you trading here though? Like what's your risk reward?
I think just trying to figure out whether you want to hold Ethereum or Bitcoin in that scenario.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's a wash right now. I don't think there's strength in either one of them. So it shows that the indecision is right there.
We sound an awful lot like dollar maximalists right now.
As the Dixie is hitting lows. Yeah, I don't know.
As the Dixie is hitting lows,
you don't need to know everything all the time, right? Like you can't be confident in every direction that ever is going to happen. You know,
like I said at the beginning of earlier in the show, the fact that the Dixie went down like three, four days in a row without Bitcoin really having a significant response indicates the tiredness. So now if the Dixie looks like it's going to make a couple of green candles that could co-align with down candles for Bitcoin and further consolidation, retrace, whatever you want to call it. The one thing I don't want to get people confused with is like this could just totally be a large unknown bullish consolidation. All the fundamental stuff is still there. Like those people are buying GBTC, like you said. The hard part is determining, is it going to stay that bullish consolidation? While we both feel like the new highs immediately seem like a low chance of occurring, or are we going to get a significant reversal and go all the, like those 20% plus type corrections? And that's where this becomes an art from a trade perspective, because it's harder to figure out, like, are we going to get another 4 or 5% that's basically not worth trying to risk off for, or is it a big enough of a opportunity that you want to have plenty of cash on the sidelines to buy the dip?
Yeah, it's almost like it too obviously went up too fast, too soon. And now everybody's just waiting for the shoe to drop, basically, to to buy it later. I don't know.
So where's the liquidity is something that, you know, people will often talk about. And I think there is very apparent liquidity on both sides, very near, which makes me think our next move is big. I have a hard time telling you exactly which direction to expect. The Dixie is having a huge reversal day right now, though. Like, you know, it's printing this massive. If this was inverted, I would say it looks like a top, you know?
Yeah, but that's until says, okay, so the guy who says he wants to live on a deserted island and look at charts is about to tell you that as soon as they announce the stimulus actually being passed, the Dixie's gonna just go to zero, right? Like they're talking about trillions of dollars.
Yeah, it just looks overdone on the daily time frame and below. Like it's melting on the weekly, but if I look at say a 4 hour, like it was parabolic, you know, and it just looks like it's trying to do a some degree of medium time frame reversal. Like what if it goes up and retests the breakdown level, like 91.70, something like that? That would coincide with at least some degree of dip in Bitcoin if that correlation holds true. And that's the type of thing that I could imagine. That's why I don't want to be like too fearful of, oh, 12K, you know, but I think
12K BTC.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that's what this is pointing at. That's
I hope not.
That's the high time. Well, that's the high time frame, like worst case scenarios, if on the, like what we talked about on the weekly.
Yeah.
But I could see as low as 15K. If we make a lower low off the, you know, from that one that we bought at 16, but I could also see, like we talked about with the consolidation, maybe it goes to 17, freaks a bunch of people out, triggers a bunch of stops, and then bam, it just goes back up to consolidate some more. And because the dollar's still dying, you know, like, and then off we go. And dancing that dance is that's where you have to make your bet.
That's trading, baby.
That's trading.
You know, how are we going to get to 33K if we don't start now? You know, that's my point.
Well, let's ask that question. If we're talking about 33K by May, which we talked about last week, so we sound hypocritical this week because we had a couple red candles and now we're acting bearish. That's not what we're trying to say. We're trying to figure out like what's the scenario that's going to take us there. And I think some consolidation is going to be better for long-term strength, even if it creates short near-term weakness.
Yes, I agree with that. We need to slow down. It's inevitable, you know, just like the Dixie needs to slow down the decline.
Yeah, if the Dixie's going to make new lows relative to the like those 2018 levels, it can't just keep melting the way it did. So
yeah,
it totally makes sense here to consolidate without panicking.
But why are stocks up then? You know, that's the weird thing.
I don't know. I got freaked out by stocks today. I took some to cash. Of course, they look, you know, in my mind, stocks look kind of like Bitcoin, except for they're already at their highs. But they look really stretched to me.
Yeah, and what scares me there is if we get another March-style drop, we're going to see that in crypto 100%.
But why would we get a March-style drop? We don't need a March-style drop.
I don't know. I don't think too many people saw that coming in March. I don't know, right? But if we get some sort of reversal there on SPX or whatever, crypto is not going to be happy, you know?
Yeah. What I've noticed in the legacy market, and this has been part of what makes me so confused, and our indecision is just a reflection of the indecision in legacy. If I look at, I think it was Amazon. Yeah. So if I look at something like Amazon, it is consolidating just as tightly with a non-decisive direction, you know?
That to me looks like a...
looks like distribution, doesn't it?
Diamond top, for sure.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that from a diamond perspective, but it kind of does. But it looks like some kind of distribution or neutral consolidation at best. There's some that look a little stronger, like I think Microsoft maybe. But if these move up, then it essentially ends up looking like a blow-off top on the indexes because they're just so big. Like they'll push other stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because a lot of this stuff is built into a handful of stocks. But if I look, like Apple looks a little more bullish to me, even though it hasn't made new highs. If this breaks up, if Amazon breaks up, if Microsoft breaks up, that's going to push a huge move up in something like the Qs or, you know, the Dow Jones or whatever. And where I've seen a lot of movement of, like from a rotation perspective in legacy, like the sunshine stocks like Zoom starting to underperform a little bit. The Dow Jones looks like it's just going into price exploration, which is obviously not fast stocks. It's 26 stocks, mostly older. So it seems like there's rotation happening in the legacy market. I mean, I just played a small steel company that went ballistic, you know, and I'm looking at energy stuff like uranium that has started to go ballistic. So it seems like almost like the equivalent of small cap altcoins moving late, you know, it's like all these unloved sectors that are getting.
You just called U.S. Steel a small altcoin. Shame on you. That is the bedrock of this nation, Brian.
Was. I don't think it's run by Vanderbilt anymore. it's a smaller company now relative to these giants, and that's same thing for energy. Like energy as a sector is tiny compared to what it was when it was dominant. And I think that's what I'm getting at. It's like the least loved and beaten up stuff. Uranium is pumping, Josh, and I want it. I want to follow it. I want to track that. I'm the type of person that does that. I'm the type of person that owns Zcash right now.
somebody has to, right?
Yeah.
A face that only Brian could love, Uranium and Zcash.
So is that just a sign that there's not a lot of places to get great yield, and it's a sign of a broader drawdown on the way?
I don't know. I got nothing. I don't know. None of it makes sense. None of it's lining up.
We're just in no man's land.
We kind of are. You know, we're in this limbo. We're on the river Styx or whatever it's. Whatever it is, you know?
Yeah. Well, I want to leave some people with good news. One, is there anything you do like? And two, is there any like fundamental news that we can be appreciative of?
I mean, the institutional buying power continues.
Yeah. How many GBTC did you say got gobbled up this week? 7,000?
7,000. I thought that was just yesterday, but I don't know.
A lot.
It's crazy. Like, it's honestly crazy that people are buying. Somebody's buying here, right? Like price isn't up, but it's definitely not down, you know?
Maximalists would tell you that price is moving from weaker hands to stronger hands.
There you go.
Isn't that always the case, though, whether the number's going up?
I guess, but I don't know. Institutional buying, I don't know. I don't know. I got nothing else. I got nothing.
You're stumped.
I'm stumped. You literally stumped me.
No, I don't have anything huge. I mean, I think
we're seeing a lot of press, though. I'll say that.
Yes,
we're seeing a consistent stream of press for Bitcoin, whether it be random regulatory stuff, random comparisons to gold or Dixie, random ultra high net worth individuals saying that they bought in. You know, we're seeing a constant stream of that now. So that's got to be bullish, right?
Kinda. I saw CNBC asking if the dollar was being dethroned by Bitcoin today.
Oh no!
Yeah, that's like I closed longs right after I saw that. I'm not gonna lie. Like it was the price action was already freaking me out, and that was the nail in the coffin for me. The other was after seeing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 dailies in over the past 2 weeks push. 615, 620 on Ethereum, and then the breakdown that we had this morning, that was what convinced me to get out of there. I hope I'm wrong. Like, I would make good money still if this goes up, but I think that it has plenty of space to, like, wash people out of leverage before it makes the next push. I keep watching this curve on Ethereum, though. Like, this is just a steady grind, you know? Like, but it ends in some kind of parabolic push, except for we haven't gotten that part yet. So I wonder if we'll just spike down 550, 525, something like that, or create some kind of consolidation close to the end of the year before we make that push to the inevitable, Josh, $789 cloud target that we talked about forever ago. That's still my target. I'm still bullish. I don't want to leave everybody depressed. I just think that, and we're seeing it while we're on the show, like we're dumping another $100 and there's just weakness. There's weakness on the low time frames. We need to consolidate on the high time frames. Figure out how to protect yourself. None of this is financial advice. We're just talking our own bags here. You do not want to be over leveraged in this market. I do not see a good justification for being over leveraged in this market. Protect your capital. Be prepared. Be able to buy the dip if we get it. You can buy the breakout if we get that. Don't get chopped up. We don't want you guys to get chopped up. We don't want to get chopped up any more than we have to. Sometimes you got to learn those lessons, but sometimes waiting is okay. I hope we look back on this and be in a week from now and say, like, man, that market shook us out. It's doing a good job of it right now, though.
Yeah, it's price is just all over the place on ETH. Jeez.
Yeah.
It's just, it's nuts. It's really, it's up, it's down, it's sideways. I don't know what's going on. Yeah, that's all I got.
Jack said one more thing. He's saying a lot of shorts opening up over the past 10 hours or so. That would be the type of thing that could give us like a choppy weekend and push up Sunday night, Monday. I'd love that. Or if we get a bloody Monday, we haven't had those. Those were bullish back in the day. Get a bloody Monday and pull up the rest of the week. Something like that. Something that gives you a clearer signal. Right now, I don't have a clear signal. Right now, we're in no man's land. So that's where we're going to leave it. I apologize that that wasn't helpful, but maybe our lack of certainty will assist you in however you're trying to play this market. If you have a long-term lens, there's still no reason not to be bullish in my mind. I'm still very bullish in the long-term lens. I'm just trying to figure out where's the next great trade, and right now I don't see it. That's okay. We'll carry on. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us, and go to LedgerStatus.com to check out this episode and more. Give us a rating or a review in iTunes, especially if somehow you found this episode helpful versus just sad about your bags. check out Matcha if you're looking to panic sell or buy the dip. Go to LedgerStatus.com/matcha. Hope you have a great one. We'll see you next time. Monuments crumble in the blink of an eye. The easy river has just run dry. In a house of cards, I feel the breeze wound so tight I can barely breathe.